Well, it's a packed show here this evening. A lot to talk about. The Orioles finally getting some national attention as they head into the month of May. Here, the Royals, maybe a team that's figured out how to beat this Baltimore Orioles squad. No one else seems to be talking about it. We'll discuss. Plus, it's not all sunshine and rainbows right now for the Orioles. Weird transactions just a day ago. Plus, fighting for their lives against Kansas City. A night after getting blanked for the first time this year, they explode for 13, but it's almost not enough. We'll discuss that. Also, NFL draft is over. The grades are out. We'll discuss those too. Who won the NFL draft? We'll talk about it here on the Water Cooler. It starts now. So, a lot of stuff happening right now for the Baltimore Orioles. They wrap up their series in Kansas City that was just went final about a half hour ago. 13-10, the Orioles scrape out a win with Kansas City. A game they were well in control of, 8-1 early on. They let that lead slip away, go down 9-8, come back again, and eventually squeak out the win 13-10, but a roller coaster ride it was. The Orioles make it exciting. They make you sweat it out. It is almost impossible for this team to just win a baseball game. You have to go through the twists, the turns, the ups, the downs, the mountains and valleys. The Orioles can't just win it peacefully, but they do just that, is win it. They take 2 out of 3 from Kansas City. It's their 7th consecutive series win. The last time they did that was July through August of 2014. They were American League East champions that year, of course. And also some surface news here before we dive deep into the Orioles is Felix Bautista winning American League Reliever of the Month for the month of April. The last time an Oriole did that was Jim Johnson. Yeah, I remember that name. Won it in 2012. One of those Orioles' magic seasons at the beginning of the 2010s. But let's dive into what is going to be some national attention for the Orioles here for the first time, and who knows how long. The Orioles in Major League Baseball's most recent power rankings come in at number 5. The first time the Orioles have been in a published power rankings since you probably can remember. The Major League Baseball writers actually talked about it in that power ranking, saying that there's not an archive of data for all the power rankings, but the ones they do have, they cannot find the Orioles in the top 5. So it's the first time they've appeared since the power rankings really became a big deal, and they really started to publish those on MLB.com, on all these other websites that love to do the power rankings. The Orioles never found in that top 5 of teams until this past week. And of course, we'll go over the Orioles' previous week and preview their next. But we will stay here for the national attention news, and that is this weekend. The Orioles on national television twice as they go down to Atlanta. Atlanta Braves and the Baltimore Orioles currently, as it sits right now going into tomorrow, tied for the second best record in Major League Baseball at 21-10. A great series to have two nationally televised games Saturday night on Fox, and then Sunday morning. I haven't figured out yet why the Orioles are playing at 11:35 on Sunday morning, but that game is on NBC. So the Orioles, national television 2 days in a row. Don't know the last time that has happened. Their previous week, the Orioles go 5-2, though it is a successful of a roller coaster ride week for the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, they're getting it done, but my concern here with the Orioles is the month of May is so brutal for the Orioles. You look at them right now on paper, in the standings, one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. They'd be winning any division, tied for first or winning any division in Major League Baseball except their own. The Tampa Bay Rays refuse to lose, 26-6 on the year right now for Tampa Bay. But the Orioles' month of May, I'll preview that real quick here while we're at it. absolutely brutal. Well, let's recap here. This is why the concern for me comes. Don't get me wrong, I'm happy about the Orioles. 21-10. They're winning games. It's not always pretty. It's not perfect. It's the Orioles. It's how they've been the past couple of years. Last year we saw the same thing when they were hanging around in the wild card hunt. It was exciting. It wasn't just clean, no stress. Win the ball game. It was high stress. Win the ball game after the roller coaster ride. But they're 21-10, and in April, it was exciting. But you look back and the teams they played, the best team they played was the Red Sox. They're sitting at wild card 3 right now, 18-14. The Yankees were the other second best team. They're 17-15. They're in the basement, last place in the American League East, the American League Beast, as it's been called by some writers recently. But then you look, you have the Oakland Athletics, the worst team in Major League Baseball. The Orioles win that series 3 out of 4, but not without incident. Took a lot of work to do that. Took a Ryan Mountcastle 9 RBI night to beat them and not split the series. Then you beat the White Sox, probably the biggest disappointment of a team this year so far. A team that was thought of, you know, potential American League Central champions this year. Has not been the case in the slightest. They're down there 10-21. Now are the White Sox. Then you have the Nationals, DC, a 2-game sweep of the Nationals, a 2-game shutout of the Nationals. They're one of the lower tier teams in this league, one of those, you know, just trying to get by this year, you know, kind of duct tape it together to an extent this year. And then you have the Tigers, who have also let down in that American League Central. Weren't really high expectations this year for the Tigers. The Orioles got 2 series with them, were able to win them. And then, of course, now to begin the month of May is Kansas City. They, as well as the second worst team in Major League Baseball at the moment, only to the Oakland Athletics. So the Orioles, on the flip side, they've had the opportunity to jump on all over the American League East, get their advantage, jump up, stay on top. They've done that. They've taken care of business. But it hasn't always been pretty. It hasn't always been clean. And now, like I've been saying, I've been telling my friends and whoever else that I've talked to, the Orioles, in the month of May, we're going to find out who this team really is. They're going to get to play with the big dogs, as I've said. They're going to play with the big boys now. The playoff teams, the teams they will see when it matters come September and October. So they squeak by a lot here in April with some lesser teams. And now the month of May, again, 2 out of 3 on national television with the Atlanta Braves. Tied with the Braves at 21-10, second best teams in Major League Baseball. Then you get your first shot at home against the best team in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays. They're 26-6. And then you get 3 at home that looked okay when the schedule came out. It looked like a 3 you could get. But now all of a sudden, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the number 2 seed in the National League at 20-12. You get them after the longest road trip of the year ends in Atlanta. Then you get 4 with the Angels, who are 18-14, tied for wild card 3, but they have Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, the 2 favorites right now for American League MVP, and it's a 4-game set, so I haven't dove into the rotation and how it all matches up 1 through 5, but 4-game set, you have to imagine you're going to see Ohtani one of those nights. That is about as challenging as a challenge gets in the major leagues. And Mike Trout can take over a series in a matter of minutes, if you let him. After that, you go back on the road. You get your first shot at the Blue Jays. You'll see them. They're right now wild card 2 at 18-13. The Orioles holding them off by 3 games. And then after that, you travel to New York. The Yankees, who are in the basement right now, last place in the American League East. 17-15, they're a game out of the wild card right now, but it's the Yankees. They're always tough. They will always play the Orioles tough, no matter what. And then you get three with the Texas Rangers, who you have seen already this year. That was one of the teams in April. They saw, they won two out of three. But the Rangers, now 18-12, they're the two seed in the American League. And then you wrap it up with what gets a little bit easier with the Cleveland Guardians at 14-17, but still second place in the American League Central right now. So this is what I'm talking about here, is that the Orioles, you know, they get to play teams like the Athletics, the Tigers, and the Royals in April and May, in the beginning of May. And it wasn't always get to play the Royals and the Athletics and the Tigers, but you had to. You know, it wasn't easy. They gave you all you could handle, and then some nights. But it's, I'm a little nervous here for the month of May for Baltimore. If they're not, listen, it's not the offense, right? The Orioles score 13 today in Kansas City, and they are fighting for their lives in the ninth inning with runners on, and you know the tying run at the plate for the Royals. They're hanging 10 runs, a team that was coming into the game worst in team on base percentage, plays like one of the best teams in baseball against the Orioles, just attacking Orioles pitching. It was really brutal sometimes. I thought Kyle Gibson had a great start last night for the Orioles when they got shut out. He did get tagged for a few at the end. I think you might have left him in a little bit too long, stretched him out a little bit. But overall, Kyle Gibson, good start last night. Grayson Rodriguez, great start today, then tagged a little bit at the end of his start. It's just, it's the pitching has, it's been up and down for the Orioles. It's been up and down pitching-wise. You know, you go from at the beginning of the year to saying, you know, oh, I told you so about the Orioles bullpen, it was a flash in the pan last year, to you get into the later stages of April, and now the Orioles bullpen is lights out, can't touch them. And now, you know, when you start the month of May, you're kind of back to the beginning again, where you can't find a lot of Orioles pitchers that are consistently getting outs out of the bullpen for Baltimore. And they did a good job, you know, a couple days ago. We did a few times in the Detroit series. But it's a little bit sort of, I don't want to say inconsistent, but leaning towards the inconsistent side. You know, your reliable relievers have been Danny Coulomb, Yennier Cano, who came out of nowhere. Never thought you'd say his name this year. Certainly didn't at the beginning of the year. And then, of course, Felix Bautista is your guy that to close the door at the end of the game at the back end, who let a couple guys on today. That's going to happen, of course. Runners are going to reach base. But it did require a mound visit from pitching coach Chris Holt. And I don't know. I'm never gonna complain about a good record, right? I have not seen the Orioles be good like this in a very, very long time. So, you know, I was around, you know, I was an Orioles fan in 2014 when they won the division. I unfortunately don't remember watching those playoff games. I know I did, but I don't really recall watching those playoff games. I have vivid memory of one Orioles playoff game that was the wild card game in 2016. Of course, didn't go the way that we had hoped here, but that is really the only playoff game I've ever watched as a fan of the Orioles. I'm 20 years old. I've watched one, not a series, I've watched one playoff game of the Orioles. And right now, it looks like this year could be a year, I get that. But it's gonna, this month of May, I am going to be on the edge of my seat all month long, every single night, because, again, I've told my friends and whoever else I've talked to, like I said, this, to the month of May, at the end of the month of May, I certainly believe we're going to know who the Baltimore Orioles are for certain. If the Orioles come out, they have a good May, you know, it's a positive record in May, they're still second place in the American League East, you know, keeping pace with the Rays, you know, if they're 4.5-5 games out at the end of May, I think it's absolutely a playoff team, no doubt about it. They don't have a tougher month on the schedule, if you ask me. But if they struggle in May, if they, you know, if they get tagged all over the place, can't beat Tampa, can't beat Toronto, it's gonna be hard. If they stay around in that race, they are going to be scraping and clawing for wild card 3, in my opinion. So the series I really have my eye on are Tampa Bay and Toronto, for sure. The division opponents, I think the Blue Jays are probably the Orioles' biggest rival right now. You saw it last year, the year before. You know, if the Orioles get into it, I guess, with any team, get upset at each other with any team, it's certainly the Blue Jays. You saw at the tail end of last season, I think the Blue Jays had high hopes and thought they were going to be this dominant team, not even thinking about the Orioles squad that was, again, supposed to lose 100 games last year. Ended up, of course, just missing the wild card, winning 83 games. I think the Blue Jays were ultimately frustrated with the Orioles being a problem last year, and they just let the emotions get to them a few times and had a couple mix-ups with the Orioles. And, you know, I've talked with a lot of people here at you know, I've talked about it on Night Owls that I do on Friday nights with Seth, with our guests there. I've talked about it with, you know, my closest friends that I can dive deep with the Orioles on. It seems pretty much, as far as the people I've talked to, consensus that the Orioles' biggest rival right now is Toronto. And, you know, of course, that goes back to the 2016 wildcard game. Of course, the Orioles didn't win that game. You had the bottle thrown at Hyunsoo Kim in the outfield. Adam Jones had to be dragged off the field by Buck Showalter and a couple of umpires, you know, yelling at the fans out there in left field. Made some post-game remarks in the press conference. That's really where it all begins for the Orioles and the Blue Jays, and now it's just kind of kicked up again as the Orioles have become a good team. The recent ones, anyway. Of course, the rivalry goes back for as long as they've been in the division, but I really am going to be intrigued by the series at Toronto and the series at home versus Tampa. I plan to go to, you know, it's a 3-game set with Tampa Bay. I plan to be at 1, if not 2 of those games. But, you know, in Atlanta, this next 3 days, it's a great atmosphere, a great baseball town, a great ballpark, and a fantastic organization, well-run organization, great team down there in Atlanta. The crowds are going to be out, and the Orioles are going to be on national TV, you know, for the first time in who knows how long. And no matter what they tell you in the press conferences, in the interviews, you know, it might not matter as much to some as it does to others, but the players know they're on national TV. They know it's not their, you know, local network television games. They're in prime time. This, you know, the world's watching, as they say. They know that. So we'll see how the Orioles handle it. You know, it's always big crowds in Atlanta. The Orioles are, you know, the hostiles. They're the bad guys, you know, in Atlanta. So we'll see how they handle it. We'll see how they play against a team that, you know, record for record is identical to the Orioles. And we'll see if the Orioles can hang with one of the best teams in the National League and one of the best teams in baseball the last few years. The Braves on the verge of a dynasty, if they're not already in the middle of it. So we'll see. I don't know. You know, now it gets real, as they say. More to talk about, though, the Orioles. Some interesting transactions over the past couple of days. We'll talk about it here on the Water Cooler. So the Orioles, just a couple days ago, make a trade with the Chicago Cubs for a catcher, Luis Torrens, from the Cubs in exchange for cash considerations. Torrens just turned 27 the other day. He's hitting .250 with 13 RBIs in 13 games with the Cubs. And to make room for Torrens on the 40-man roster, the Orioles DFA'd reliever Joey Crable. A name you haven't heard much this year, but we did certainly hear it last year with the Orioles. Crable was having a good year with the Tides in Norfolk. 2 even earned run average. He was in the closer role there for the Tides. Not anymore, of course. The Orioles can try to clear him through outright waivers or find a trade partner. And, of course, if neither happens, Crable can either accept his outright assignment, reassignment to, you know, AAA again, not on the 40-man or where, whatever it might be, or he can decline and take his release. But Terenz, this is where it gets really interesting. Luis Terenz is out of minor league options, so the Orioles have no choice but to activate him to the active roster, the 26-man roster, and carry him with the big league club. They're going to carry 3 catchers, the Orioles are now, with Terenz on the team. That is very untraditional, very uncommon to carry 3 catchers. The Orioles right now are carrying 5 outfielders. They have Hayes, Mullins, Santander, Ryan McKenna, and Kyle Stowers all on the big league roster. 5 outfielders, also generally uncommon, not as much as 3 catchers. Is, though, 4 outfielders usually the way most teams go. But Kyle Stowers likely the odd man out if you go with an outfielder to make room, because now you have to take somebody off the active roster to put Terenz on the team. I think Kyle Stowers might be the odd man out. He has 3 options left, so you can send him down to the minor leagues 3 more times in his contract. The other one is Ryan McKenna. He only has 1 option left, though, so if you send him down and call him back up again, you can't send him back down again. You have to DFA him if you want to get rid of him. First baseman Ryan O'Hearn is also a candidate to be the odd man out on this roster. If it is O'Hearn that leaves Ryan Mountcastle as the only other rostered first baseman for the Orioles, could that mean first base reps for Adley Rutschman? We saw it talked about, of course, in spring training, albeit briefly, but it was talked about. Adley can play first. It's a very weird... The Orioles seem very set, very complete at catcher. This was probably the least needed position. I don't really understand the move here, the trade. It's curious, to say the least. Here, I'm not really sure why. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this as I'm talking about it on the show, you know, trying to work out the kinks of what the roster moves would be to make Terenz fit, and then ponder the question of why go through the trouble to do it. I don't know why you need 3 catchers on the team. Maybe there's something in depth that I'm missing here that I don't have information-wise for the show this evening, but surface level, what I can tell, this is an odd trade for the Orioles to make. I don't know why Terenz, he's a 27-year-old catcher. James McCann's doing a great job as the backup catcher. The only thing I can think of is rest days, because it's common we see, you know, when McCann catches, Adley's the DH, he's playing anyway, just not catching, and vice versa. Sometimes James McCann will be the DH, so both your catchers playing most days, I guess. Maybe that's part of it, but I don't know. I don't know that I like this trade yet. I'm going to wait to see for who the roster move is. If I had to put a guess out there right now for the show, for the listeners, I would probably say expect Kyle Stowers to be the roster move. Send him back down to AAA. And Kyle Stowers, a good series here in Kansas City. Of course, if you watched the game yesterday, the nice outfield assist from Kyle Stowers, throwing out the first baseman Prado of Kansas City at the plate. I don't know. We've been talking about ways to make it work with Kyle Stowers. You know, just not enough room, trying to get him more at-bats, more playing time. And now you bring in a third catcher? I don't know that I like this at all. But we'll see. We'll talk about it again next week. But to sum it up, weird roster moves for the Orioles the past couple of days. A weird trade. And we'll see how it develops. But time sneaking up on me here before I head out. The NFL draft is over. Who won the draft? I'll tell you right here on the Water Cooler. So the NFL draft now over. Did take place in Kansas City, where the Baltimore Orioles just were. A lot of teams with pretty good drafts out there. If I had to pick one team that I said was the champion, walked away as winners for the NFL draft, I'm going to give it to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles get maybe the best player in the draft, Jalen Carter, all the way down at number 9. They also draft edge rusher Nolan Smith at number 30. Nolan Smith was top 10 in a few mock drafts before the draft. They filled a need at guard with Tyler Steen out of Alabama. And they make the big move with Detroit. They trade for a running back. They get DeAndre Swift during the draft as well. I think the Eagles hit this out of the park. I think they got so much better. The pass rush, the defense is scary now. The front is fantastic. Looks great for the Eagles. They should be back. They might be my best team in the NFC. Right now, my only concern is you lose both of your coordinators, offensive and defensive coordinator, to head coaching jobs. It's what happens to great teams. The coordinators get poached by other teams wanting new head coaches. You know, we'll see. We'll see. I think the Eagles did, though, this past weekend. I think they had the best draft out there in Kansas City. Another team that is right there in that conversation, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they drafted great. You know, Broderick Jones at 14, Joey Porter Jr. at 32. The Steelers went and they got their guys, and I think that's very important. They hit on who they wanted to. Well, didn't hit. Yeah, you don't know if they hit yet or not. I think they did, but they got the guys they wanted to get, and they did a great job with drafting. But if I had to pick one team to win the NFL draft, I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles this year, and had it on the docket here to go over all the grades for all the teams and talk about some win total predictions as well, but out of time here, so it'll be on the docket for next week. But like we said, it's a big week ahead for the Baltimore Orioles. They head to Atlanta. Don't be looking for it on Masson on Saturday and Sunday. Nationally televised games, don't forget it. Fox, Saturday Night Baseball, and then NBC, Sunday morning, 11:35. First pitch. Battle-tested the O's will be in the month of May. We'll talk about their first week in May next week here on the Water Cooler. More NFL talk next week as well. Same time, same place, next Thursday, 6 o'clock. I'm Evan John. This is the Water Cooler, 91.1 WHFC.